Coming up on the Emerging Podcast Scene presented by Extend Technologies, is there a new head coach hiring trend in the NFL that's right underneath our noses?
And to many, he's disgraced, but to some, Urban Meyer might be the belle of the ball. Could he get back into coaching?
It's all coming up on the Emerging Podcast Scene presented by Extend Technologies on 92.3 The Fan Extra.
The first 4 hours were simply an amuse-bouche.
I'm stuffed. I can't remember the last time I ate this much.
Sure you don't want no dessert?
Not for me.
Yeah, I'm good.
Your table is ready for Carmen and Lima's Emerging Podcast Scene.
We're brought to you by Extend Technologies. Do you remember Ryan Hickey from CBS Sports Radio?
Oh, yeah.
He just said... He said, when Baker Mayfield gets the proper help and just has some continuity, he's a damn good player. The guy is good. And I just responded to him and go, you can say that about 90% of quarterbacks.
Blake Bortles went to the AFC Championship game. That is always my go-to.
Blake Bortles went to 80% championship games.
He went to an AFC Championship game and was a penalty, I believe, an offsides by the defense. Someone will yell at their radio and tell me who it was. Somebody was offsides to give Tom Brady another down, or they would have been going to the Super Bowl. I'm pretty sure. Almost positive.
Well, that happened against
Kansas City. Kansas City, too. Yep. But there are a more quarterbacks than probably people like me would like to admit, because when we're in the wars, when we are in, it was the Baker Wars, without a doubt, and we had many wars before that. I probably talk in a few too many absolutes. Like, this guy... can't do it. He's not going to be the guy.
Because they have to make a decision. Yeah. They can't just be, well, he's this or that. No, it's their quarterback, so they have to make a decision. I am freezing my ass off.
Even
in here.
You know, Zach Jackson today with us, and boy, did we unearth some great stuff about the defense.
And I wish I had that pullover.
Maybe some flaws, some kinks in the armor about the defense. Zach also said, you know, flat out still, he does not think Baker Mayfield can win a Super Bowl. Just flat out cannot win it. And if you watch Baker this year, his advanced analytical numbers, I think, had him around like 12, which is pretty damn good. I didn't think Baker could get back there. I didn't.
You want to do a test of Mitch's listening?
Sure.
Should we ask tomorrow, do you believe right now Deshaun Watson can win a Super Bowl with the Browns? Run a poll. You want to do a poll?
Oh, boy.
Tomorrow?
Oh, boy.
You think people are going to get mad?
They're going to get mad, but... I mean, that's what the Browns have to always wonder. Actually, the Browns, with that contract they gave out, I don't think it matters whether they thought, I think they still have to play it out one more year, no matter what. Even if the Browns were like, it's not looking great, they still have to play it out another year. It's not like they can do what Denver did with Russell Wilson.
They have to play it out two more years.
I don't know. I think if they were like 7-10 next year, and Watson is injured. Yeah, and if Watson was banged up, and what I think they would start to move on, start the process of moving on. I do.
What's the process of moving on?
I think the process of moving on is potentially because they can't just cut him. They can't even do what Denver did. I think they'd have to talk to him and say, "Hey, we're gonna bring in another quarterback and maybe have a competition." It's not good for anybody. I mean,
no, it's not.
But look, if Deshaun is bad next year, that's not good either. So if he's banged up or is not close to the shoulder, is not, you know, remotely what it was, and he's lost the arm strength or velocity, and he's still making bad decisions.
Guess I don't want to ask that question tomorrow.
Yeah, no. It's tough. It's tough because but I still think one more year is what they're going to have to give it. And then after that, I mean, they may have to, and you might be right, they may have to give him 2 years, but... Like I said, they're going to start the process. Maybe that process is...
I'm just saying that because of money. Just think fiscally, right? It's not...
Money, power, respect.
Yeah. You know, now I'm...
the exact thing, Kit.
I'm fleshing it out. Maybe I'm wrong because they could probably just say, well, Stefanski has had competitive offenses with Jacoby Brissett. He's had competitive offenses with P.J. Walker.
Joe Flacco.
DTR, Joe Flacco. I mean, the list goes on.
Kirk Cousins.
I mean, maybe they'd say, hey, even if he's Russell Wilson, Russ this year did what? Didn't turn the ball over as much. Still wasn't making a ton of great plays, but he was stable.
Mm-hmm.
that the Browns could still win games with that. They're not going to win a Super Bowl like that.
No.
Just like Sean Payton knows they're not going to win a Super Bowl. But Sean Payton's in position to move on.
Yeah.
From Russell Wilson, even if it means eating some you-know-what.
We're going to have a conversation about the restructuring. We did a little bit today. Yeah. But we're going to have a conversation about the restructuring of the
contract. Everyone's saying it's a guarantee. It doesn't matter. They have to do it. So because of that, they're going to restructure. And, boy, it increases the pain if this doesn't work out. If what I just told you happens and Watson's not good this year or banged up again.
It increases the pain.
I mean, you are screwed. Not screwed because, hey, even Denver won how many games this year. But you're in trouble. You're in big trouble.
Yeah, but if you feel that he is a liability.
Yeah.
What else are you going to do?
I don't think you could think Watson's a liability. You just say he's a shell of what he was. So far in Cleveland, he, to me, is a shell of what he was. People are all going to say, what about the second half against the Ravens? It was a great second half. I've seen Gardner Minshew play better in a half. Like, I've seen all these guys. I've seen bad quarterbacks have good halves. I mean, that's just not enough. That's just not enough anymore. It's got to be more. You guys got to want more.
I think I'm starting to see a trend in the NFL. Coaching. I walked in. A lot of people nationally are talking about whether or not Nick Sirianni is going to be fired by the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, unbelievable when they were just in the Super Bowl last year. But this was an unceremonial end. Didn't they lose 6-7?
Yep.
Yeah, down the stretch. 10-1, and including the playoff game, they finished 1-6.
Yeah. So that's... that's not very good. I don't like to have knee-jerk reactions. Now, I say that some of the people in Philly are crazy, but you know they know. I will give them this: they know that windows are only so open so long.
They've also proven that they're unlike the Browns. When they blow things up, they can get right back quickly.
Yes, they can. That is true.
That is not something. That's not a formula a lot of NFL teams can go to.
No. Well, you got to have a little bit of luck there, too. Some of the guys that have fallen to them. Again, A.J. Brown being traded for a can of Pringles.
It ruined Mike Vrabel in Tennessee.
Yes. Well, there were some people, when we were talking about Vrabel, thanks for bringing that up. Like I said, hey, Columbus has to explore it, even though they're not going to get rid of Ryan Day. And, you know, a little bit of that was knee-jerk reaction, I'll admit. But there were some people going, oh, Mike Vrabel. I'm like, man, I got to tell you, I think he's been disenchanted with the Titans since. Yeah. I think he was thinking about his exit since then, since that moment. Like, you're trading away good football players for basically salami sandwiches. Like, what are we doing? What are you doing? Oh, tight ends don't matter. No, tight ends do matter. You have a tight end right here. And then you went out and got Treylon Burks, who is not what A.J. Brown is. Not bad, but he ain't A.J. Brown. So that was a terrible decision by them. But now I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking this. Use Vrabel as an example. When he got hired, now they made a weird decision. The Titans are not necessarily the example I want because they made a weird decision before because they had a really good, they had a pretty good football coach before when Vrabel got hired before that because they had
Munchak,
Malarkey. I get it mixed up.
Did they have Wisenhunt?
They did have Wisenhunt.
Yeah, but it was before those guys.
Obviously, Jeff Fisher.
It was before Munchak, Malarkey. Either way, they weren't that bad.
Former player, by the way.
Munchak. Former player. Former guard. Guard. Vrabel comes in. Former player. Gets them built to the number one seed in the AFC. D'Amico Ryans comes in. Former player. They win the AFC South with the Houston Texans. Doug Peterson, technically former player. He was a former player. He's a backup quarterback, started some games. The Jacksonville Jaguars won the AFC South. I wrote down a couple other names. I brought it up with you on the air real quick. Mm-hmm. Are we starting to see... now, these guys are not the oldest guys in the world. Peterson's been around the block. But Vrabel's not that old. D'Amico Ryans isn't that old. You mentioned Antonio Pierce. I mean, we watched him play not too terribly long ago.
I heard...
are we starting... Campbell...
down the road, Larry Foote.
He's with
Bowles, I think, in Tampa Bay.
I watch these guys, and I think former players, they are not stupid. You know, there was a time where former players, they wouldn't believe any of this. They would call it gobbledygook about about analytics, whatever. Yeah. Well, these guys know that it has its place.
They grew up in it.
But you have these guys now who are smarter that I'm wondering if that's going to be the new trend. Guys who gave 10 years in the league. Guys who played defense in the league. They got to be smart. They got to know what offenses are going to do. And they are not just guys who were on the peripheral or are really, really smart quarterback coaches. Not the quote-unquote nerds. I hate using that term, but that's, you know, that's what a lot of football guys call them. Like the guys who have found the right mix. D'Amico Ryans, who knows what it takes. He's not that far away from playing. He knows what these guys go through. He reaches these guys. Dan Campbell knows what these guys go through, reaches these guys. Like, Dan Campbell sounds like a person in a movie. He looks like somebody they would cast as a psychotic football coach in a movie. Almost, like, honestly, Dan Campbell could look like the football coach in Revenge of the Nerds. I know John Goodman is the coach there, but honestly, like, if Dan Campbell stopped in and was the head coach in Revenge of the Nerds, nobody would blink an eye. Is that the next trend? Former players, guys who can reach these guys, guys who know what they're going through, but also aren't bullheaded enough to not believe in analytics, to not believe in what fourth down means, what fourth down and distance means, what going for it in this situation and that situation is going to make a difference. That if you go for it twice for a two-point conversion, you're going to get it. The difference in probability with the types of quarterbacks that you have, the type of offensive line that you have, if you get some sort of a penalty and it goes from the usual extra point spot to in between extra point and the goal line, how much more probable are you to go for two to get the two? Like, they don't just... Like, the days of Joe Bugle, no offense to him, those are done. And now you got these guys who played, and they played with these principles. And so now that they play with these principles, they love the sport, they want to be around it, and they have what it takes to be a head coach, we're starting to see these rebuilds done by former players. Is that the next trend?
Well, I said the Raiders had taken these big swings at Gruden and then McDaniels, so they're like, well, those things didn't work. We had a culture guy in Gruden, you know, a guy who could talk the talk. You had a smart guy, so to speak, in McDaniels, who's seen it all and has won Super Bowls as a coordinator and has been there, done that, even worked on the defensive side of the ball a couple times with New England. And none of that worked. Let's try a former player. I mean, that's where you go next,
that's what
right?
I'm saying.
That's where you go next.
That's what I'm saying. Like, in a lot of it, you see former players and they try to be head coaches. And some people have tried some offbeat things. Like, I look at college. Again, offbeat doesn't mean it can't work. They have poured what they're doing into Colorado. They said they were going to go out and pound the transfer portal for offensive linemen. I was skeptical, and they went out and pounded the transfer portal for offensive linemen. I don't know how many of those guys could play, but, I mean, there you got Deion, former player. I think he made a terrible mistake, and that I think it was proven during the season when he moved on from Sean Lewis, who I'm going to be paying attention to, with San Diego State. It's going to be one of the Ken Carmen family of teams that I like to follow in college football.
Sean, I hope you have your ghostwriter.
Yes, sir, absolutely. So I that's one of the things that I pay attention to. But I think he made a mistake. But they're going after him. Trent Dilfer at UAB. In his rebuild process, those guys, I think that we're finding out there's different ways to do this, and the trends that there's always something hot that gets somebody's attention. Somebody's got to be willing to do it the first time. D'Amico Ryans, great culture, got that franchise turned around. They had Jack Easterby, the whole Watson thing with Jack Easterby. I mean, that was more bunned. Nobody cared about Texans football. Now, I mean, hey, after they beat us, they're one of the big talks of the league, outside of the guys that might get fired because they lost their playoff games. But they're the talk of the league. And I think that some owners might look at that and go, I want that. That's what I want for my team. I wonder if it's – I'm just asking you, maybe, if you think it's the next trend.
And they're showing it can be done fast.
Yeah.
My God. Look,
we got Texas, no time to wait.
Do you remember when the Browns schedule – the year before, when last season ended, everyone's like, all right, here's your schedule. You're playing the AFC South. And everybody's like, oh, Texans, that's a win, right?
Yeah.
By the way, it ended up being a blowout win. But that was the regular season. These things change on a dime. You never know when you've got a team on a schedule. Hell, we had the Eagles in training camp. Did they go to Philly for yes. training camp with the Eagles this year.
Went to Philly.
And it's like, y'all, it's Super Bowl runner up. This is gonna truly carve out, you know, what the Browns are gonna do. We'll see how they do competitively against the Eagles. And it's like, the Eagles end up being a foot out the door team at the end of the year. Just never know. These things could change so fast. And you know, the other thing is, I joked, well, it wasn't really a joke. I think we made a segment out of this a couple of years ago about whether I could coach in the NFL not knowing X's and O's or having played the game. And obviously, it's a ridiculous premise. But I said, well, wait a second. What if I would have been on with Brandon Staley at John Carroll?
Right.
And I would have been his position coach. I would have been, when he was a defensive coordinator, I would have been the DB coach because let's say he's a really good friend and he taught me in a year everything he knew about being a DB coach. And then I watched him as someone who I like to think I can absorb things and learn and have a best practices and all that stuff. And I would have, if it were my full-time job, I would have been doing research. I would have been in the film room. I would have been putting the requisite hours. Let's say I was single and had nothing else to do. And then next thing you know, Staley gets hired as a defensive coordinator in the NFL after a few years. And then he brings me along and I keep elevating and I'm learning. I'm a sponge. And now I'm learning how to deal with NFL players. And so now it's not, who's this Lima guy? Now I've got 5 years in and I'm a high riser because this is what happens. This is what literally happens in the NFL with some guys that don't play, that never played the sport ever. I don't know. How far did Kyle Shanahan obviously had a built-in advantage?
Kyle Shanahan played a wide receiver at Texas.
Was he really?
He was a wide receiver at Texas.
That's a bad example.
I don't know how many career catches he had, Anthony. I mean, he is Mike Shanahan's son. Sure.
Well, Tom Izzo's kid just scored a basket. In a college basketball game, Debo, and they went crazy.
How many of Dabo Sweeney's sons played at Clemson? Remember the whole joke about who was it who kept kicking to Dabo Sweeney's son on kickoff, and they had to take him out of there?
Bob Stoops' kid has been at Oklahoma for 7 years.
That's right.
Yeah, still playing receiver.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So
that's right.
All I'm saying is, like, I know on its face sounds ridiculous. Oh, now I think I can coach in the NFL. Well, you work towards it, and when it becomes your full time job. Could you be an investment banker if you spent 5 years learning how to be an investment banker and learning from people that know what the hell they're talking
that's
about?
On the job training.
That is the most asinine thing I've ever heard of in my entire life, by the way. That is a two-time national championship program, and you're just letting your son play on kick return because he's your son. There is no doubt in my mind, Axel, you better be ready to play for the Akron Zips. You will be on that field in D1 football with the Akron Zips. Come hell or high water.
So he
doesn't even know. You better strap up, buddy. You're going to be getting your head taken off.
So all this is to say,
unbelievable.
All this is to say that a former player knows a little bit honestly, of X's and O's, could know, but they can certainly learn once they're there and they can delegate.
The difference is the difference between the former player and you, Anthony, is that they have the advantage of going, you remember seeing me in a game. I dealt with this pressure. So they are getting the benefit of the doubt from the current players.
Yeah, they have a buy-in. They have a quicker buy-in.
Exactly.
I think that's what Pierce has done. Is an Antonio Pierce.
Yeah.
I do think that can come off a little. That can come off the wrong way if you don't have the right people around you. You have to have good coaches around you. And it kind of, like, what were the Raiders?
You have to be able to humble yourself some to know that you don't know it all.
Yeah, and what I liked about the Raiders, and this is what I liked about Antonio Pierce, I mean, they'll probably go somewhere else with it because it's the Raiders.
I don't know.
But it's like, all right.
He's interviewing with Tennessee.
You had Ted Hendricks in. You had Jim Otto in the wheelchair with one leg. Max Crosby towards the end of the year. It's kind of like you were getting the autumn wind blowing again.
Right.
Like, you got guys in there who you got to go back to basics and what's it mean to be a Raider. Because that is one of the franchises that –
it did feel like they were like, we're in Vegas now. We're going to be the Las Vegas Raiders. And Antonio Pierce is like, no, dude, you're always the Oakland Raiders. Don't forget where you came from. We're going back to Oakland.
The Raiders are but they'll look at it and they'll say the Raiders are the Raiders. And so Las Vegas is a wide open town. And so you're the Raiders. You are a Raider. And it means something different to be that way. And you have to get those guys to buy in is what I think. Like, no offense to Tony Baselli. How much does it mean to be a Jacksonville Jaguar?
It meant enough for...
You're an NFL football player.
Jalen Ramsey to immediately run out of there.
Like, if you were to be drafted, I mean, come on. Mm. If you have any knowledge of history, which a lot of players actually don't, but if you have any knowledge of history.
And most of them don't know we came from Baltimore.
Jarvis Landry didn't know that, or that Baltimore came from us. If you have any knowledge of it, you get drafted by the Raiders, like, that's, you're a Raider. Like, that's, you know the history of it. There's very few teams who could say it. But, and I think that a player, a guy who either played against it or lived it, knows that they could draw that out of it. And I think they could do that more than me, just a guy who came up studying, but never was on the field against the Raiders or with the Raiders or anything like that. I think that's the difference for a lot of people. And I think that a player who may have been on a team that built knows what these guys are going through. Like, there's a video going around right now, Dan Campbell talking to his teams about trusting him in camp. You got to trust me. Because he's been through it. He played for the Lions, for crying out loud. Dan Campbell did. So he's seen them not at their best, but he's seen them with hope. He's seen them in despair. He's lived that, and so he knows it. And that's part of the reason I did think he was good. I thought he was smart. I thought he was a good hire. I thought that he would have his stuff together because I'd seen him be an interim coach before. I thought there'd be a chance, but because of how he is, or perceived by the media, I thought that obviously there's a chance that he could be a cartoon character, but there's plenty of guys who they're good coaches and things just don't go the right way. I'm thinking about it in different ways, going, are we finally starting to get to the point where analytics and experience are finally starting to mesh? Like, John, as much as I love and respect John Dorsey, John never got it and probably still doesn't. But does Holmes get it over there? I think he does. I think he knows there's a mix. I bet Dan Campbell knows all that stuff, and he knows there's a motion to this game. You need dudes. You need dudes who are willing to pay the fiddler where other dudes aren't. That's where it can't be spark scores. But you can't have, you know, the old joke that Zach brings up about the guy saying we needed 22 Solomons. Mm-hmm. You can't have 22 Solomons. You're going to get a really hard-working team that's going to finish 2-15. Like, that's what you're going to get. You're going to get a hard-nosed team that gets boat raced every game. They're going to fight like crazy and lose. What you're bringing up, though, a lot of, if you have the right people, like, I don't know if you could do it in the pros, because it is such a chess match because the talent is right there. But what about college? Like, I've brought this up to people who, like, when Ryan Day was talked about, Heartline. And I go, man, I know some people in Cincinnati. And when he interviewed for that job, it was apparently not the best experience in the whole conversation there. But then I think, if he has the right people around him and understands that they're the right people, it's not about learning on the job, but can you lead? He probably can lead, and he certainly can recruit.
Real quick.
So that can help him.
The new head coach at Alabama, DeBoer. The rap on him is he can't recruit. Like, he's not a great recruiter. Well, Alabama knows this. They're not dumb. They're banking on the infrastructure of Alabama that Nick Saban has built in over time. It is going to sell itself for a few years. Then eventually it's going to be up to the coach. The coach is going to have to become a good recruiter. But they are willing to take the hit. You're going to take a hit no matter what you get, to some extent. No matter who you take, there's going to be strengths and weaknesses for every head coach. And I saw Alabama people going, well, he can't recruit. He can't be an Alabama coach. Well, who did you want? Did you want Dabo Swinney? All right, right now he can't recruit the portal. That's a problem. So that's a weakness.
He did start on the portal.
He did. Yeah, so there's going to be a problem. None of these guys are perfect. If you offered the job to Urban Meyer, he's got some weaknesses too now. I mean, every coach has a weakness that you want to try to mitigate as best you can, and also, you know, truly... you know, be able to pounce on the strengths.
Yes, true.
That's an important thing.
Could Urban be nuclear?
Yeah.
Did you think that he could be hired again by now? Or
I thought it would be...
You gotta let him air out.
Honestly, it was like a Texas A&M situation. I thought he could get hired in the Wild Wild West. A school that is willing to look past some of the background and some of the issues. And I don't even know, like, is it that bad? What? Think of all the bad things associated with Urban Meyer right now. Okay, he was caught flirting with girls.
Rich Rod,
young college age.
He's at J State.
Rich Rod's back, and he's coaching. He's back to coaching. Great. I mean, he is doing a great job.
Hell yeah! Gamecocks were excellent this year.
Yeah, yeah. I look at it that way. Like the Urban Meyer thing. Is there that much?
But it's
when it comes to negatives, tough to work with. He's like Harbaugh. It's only going to be a few years.
Urban might be too old, though. He might be too old. He might be too old, and he might be too successful. Hugh Freeze, It obviously imploded at Ole Miss. Imploded.
That's crazy to hear you say too old, by the way, because I was living it when Urban Meyer was the hot young coach.
Well, yeah.
And now it makes me feel old.
Well, I don't want to say too old, but, you got three national championships, too old, too accomplished. Like, is he going to go back to – Hugh Freeze went to Liberty. And
too old to
Liberty,
care,
Liberty,
though,
Liberty.
Right?
And Liberty Biberty started – yeah, Liberty Biberty started winning, and now they're in a conference that I don't know whenever Liberty Biberty is going to lose another
Liberty,
conference game.
Biberty.
The same thing could be said for Rich Rodriguez. Rich Rod, he got, what, eight wins? Did Rich Rod get him eight wins in Arizona?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a name for Arizona for you coming up in a second. Because I know we are the authority for Wildcat football. Do you think, like, Rich Rod goes to J State after that, or they call it Jack State down there. I should probably get it right. And that's Jacksonville, Alabama, correct?
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly not Florida. I know that. But I wanted Alabama, Mississippi.
Jacksonville, Alabama.
Okay, that's right. I remember that one game. It was like 102 degrees, and he was sweating through his shirt, and they won that game. I don't know if Urban's going to do that. Like, Jack State's a school that is going from FBS to FCS. Or excuse me, FCS to FBS. You know, Urban's not going to go down there. Urban's got a much better gig being on a desk at Big Noon Kickoff. But as a school, like, I think I just answered my own question while I wanted to ask my question.
Would
Florida bring him back? Like, Billy Napier might not make it to Halloween.
I know. It's like, why dispense with this? What are we doing? Just get rid of him now if that's what everybody's saying.
I think the people I know that are big Florida fans would bring him back in an instant.
Their schedule's hard this year, so it's like, why let the new guy take those losses? You're not going to win those games.
Yeah.
They're going to be 5-7 again. Napier's going to be blown out. Let Billy Napier take those losses on his record. Let him do the work. And then you bring somebody else in. Now, Urban, at that time, will be, 59?
Yeah.
He left bad, but boy, while he was there, it was really good. Do you think they do it again? Because now Jed Fish is out of the conversation.
And now
for him.
There are no rules.
No.
There are no rules in college football.
No.
Yet somehow Michigan violates them all. But there seems to be no rules with three concurrent investigations.
Got an idea for Arizona football, by the way. I follow a guy who follows us. I think he's from the area. I'm not going to say his name. Brett Brennan, San Jose State. They start off 1-5. They went bowling this year.
Yeah, that immediately puts you on a radar when you have a season like that at a place like that.
Arizona won 9 in the regular season. They won their bowl game. They finished 10-3. But Jed Fish has been through.
Boy, the Jed Fish thing.
I remember him when he was the quarterback coach of the Jags.
Whew.
He was Blake Bortles' quarterback coach, right?
Was he under Doug Marrone?
I think so. And then he became the head coach at Arizona. I go, wow, this is a hell of a risk by Arizona. But, hey, you know, they've tried everything else, and they've sucked up the room. So what else are they going to do? And then in 2 years, he gets that thing turned around. And now you look at Arizona, it's like, all right, you need a builder. A guy like Brennan has done it with no money at San Jose State. Arizona is not necessarily spending a bunch. I think that was one of the reasons he left, that they were working on something. They were like, you're not serious about keeping me. Goodbye.
Well, I have a question for you then.
All right. We might be getting too in the weeds with college football.
I don't care. Reports are Ohio State could be going after or already interviewing maybe Jason Candle of Toledo. If you're Jason Candle, you saw what happened with Sean Lewis, okay? And he had to be redirected and was like, you know, I'm at Kent State. I've done what I can here. I'm going to go OC and get on the radar.
Yep.
And boy, oh boy, I mean, your games are on national television all of a sudden.
The old ways are new again. Go ahead and say what you're going to say.
So if you're Candle, do you take OC at Ohio State or do you pursue the head coaching jobs?
No. This is as good as it's going to get. You still lost the MAC championship game. go. Go be an assistant. Go run your offense. Go take part of the credit for being an offensive coordinator.
You know, they're
at a
be
school
good.
That's going to be better
they're
offensively, be and then go get yourself a better job. Because you at Toledo, Jason Candle, see, things change, man. They've changed dramatically. Toledo, Mac Schools, man, if you want to go head coach to head coach, unless you are 13-0 for about 2 years straight and win two MAC championships in a row, you're going to go to lower level, big mid to lower level Big Ten, and right now that's changing.
Like yeah, Urban went to Utah.
Kurt Cignetti
after BG.
Yeah, Kurt Cignetti. I'm going to give you a different example. Hold off on that for a second. Kurt Cignetti is going to go to Indiana. You know what they're going to get? They're going to get a guy who's probably going to get them 6 to 7 wins consistently, and if the bowl system stays in place, is going to get them to a bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
And is going to give them something to do, like Mark Stoops has at Kentucky, and he's won more than 6 to 7 games a year, obviously. Going to give them something to do before college basketball season. I think it could be the perfect hire. Instead of 28-year-old, 30-something-year-old guy who can go there and then flame out MAC head coach, they're going to get a guy who obviously is a builder with James Madison.
Mm-hmm.
They've never really been terrible, but he built with James Madison. He's going to go to Indiana. He's older. You're not going to want to leave. He's not going to be floating away. It's the same thing what Kansas did with Lance Leipold. Lance Leipold is a legend in D3 football. And then he decided to take the jump, moved up to Buffalo, moved up again. He's 59 years old. What the hell does he need the headaches of playing up there where Kansas is thrilled to have Lance Leipold and will hold on to him like grim death. He is their Bill. He could be their Bill Snyder if he wants to be. That's how much they love him.
I still would have left for Washington.
The reason I say you're way more ambitious.
Yeah.
Anthony's 59 years old.
I know.
He's got more money than he could ever have. He's got national championships at the D3 level. Maybe he'd want to take that swing of the national championship. Like Kalen DeBoer has had great success at the D3 level too,
yeah.
Or NAIA or whatever the hell it is. And he decided to move on. He started Sioux Falls, I think it was, as a head coach. So there's a possibility there. The example I wanted to give you, where the old is new again. Same situation. Nick Saban. Head coach at Toledo in 1990, went to the Cleveland Browns to be the defensive coordinator. The rest is history. Like, you could go, and I think Sean Lewis, he saw it. I can go be Daryl Hazel.
Yeah.
And not be ready for
this
situation.
Take the Big Ten job you're not ready for or probably can't win at.
And where it's going to be even harder now to win. Where now we're bringing in even more competition. I'm going to draw these teams. And now my ceiling used to be 8. Can I get to 8 wins? Joe Tiller had to change the way they do business at Purdue, God rest his soul, to get 8 wins. Bring in a totally different style of offense. He had to be a hard fit for a lot of teams. He had to be a hard study for a lot of teams to go out there and win. And I don't think that anybody would want to do that ever again. You could be Daryl Hazel, and I hate to use him as an example, but you could go there, flame out in a couple years, and that's it, and we really haven't heard of him again. And then you could have a situation where, hey, I could leave Kent State, which is not serious about football in so many ways, even though their alum is golden.
They have an amazing,
like, it's a who's who of football people when you break it all down. But they're not serious about competing, and I'm saying that. I know what my school is not very serious at, too. Or I could go to Purdue, or I could go to one of these other schools, and I can get rich, but I could go somewhere else, get a better job, compete. Nobody blames Sean Lewis at all in the Colorado situation. Colorado's biggest fans didn't blame Sean Lewis in that situation. And now he's going to go to San Diego State. He's in a beautiful part of the country. He's going to have a budget. He's going to have money with that budget. It's easy to recruit in a beautiful part of the country, and I think he's going to be successful. He's going to bring that offense there. That offense was stagnant. No offense to Hoke, that offense was stagnant. He's going to bring that offense there. I'm telling you, that thing's going to get righted very, very quickly. He's going to be one of the hottest names in college football in a couple of years.
There's a better case study, though, Kenny. There's a better case study.
Record that, by the way.
There's a better case study, though, that we're forgetting about. Make a ton of money and then never have to coach again. Mel Tucker, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.